Buddhism and other religions. There are four main religions in this world. According to their historical origin, these religions are Vaidika Dharma, today known as Hinduism, Buddhism, Christianity, and Islam. Besides these four main religions, there are many other religious sects, creeds, cults, and denominations that came into existence later. Followers of all these religions can be classified into three groups according to the way how they act and react to each other. One group ignores the teachings of other religions and believes that their religion or faith is the only true religion. Another group tolerates and appreciates only certain aspects of the teachings of other religions. Yet, another group respects the teachings of every religion in this world and never talk ill of any religion. At the same time, many people believe that all these religions are the same and that the followers of all these religions are worshipping and praying to the same God, even though people have given different names to introduce their own God. But when we carefully investigate this belief, we can understand that it is either an intellectual hypocrisy or a well-meaning lie, if not a belief arises due to lack of real observation of various religions. In fact, while there are many similarities amongst these religions, there are also many differences in the beliefs and practices of the various religions. Therefore, it is more correct to say that the aim of all these religions is the same. This aim is to find out peace, happiness, and a righteous way of life leading to eternal salvation. If there are no differences, then there is nothing to talk about in terms of religious tolerance. Religious tolerance is important amongst the followers of all religions because there are different beliefs and practices. We know very well that every religion talks about tolerance, but very unfortunately, it seems that many religionists have not learned how to tolerate the progress of another religion. This is not a healthy attitude. Pointing out the weaknesses of certain religious practices is one thing, but religious intolerance is another thing. The Buddha was a religious teacher who has used love, wisdom, and compassion to introduce his teachings. He pointed out the weaknesses of certain religious practices and at the same time accepted some good practices. It is advisable for the followers of every religion not to discriminate against the other religions, although there are some differences, and try to work in harmony by adopting peaceful methods with understanding. Instead of bringing forward only their differences, they must try to find out how far they can work together for the welfare of the mankind. It is a well-known fact that Buddhism has introduced more religious tolerance than the other religions. This we can prove from world history, from the teachings of the Buddha, and from the Buddhist way of life. However, this Buddhist tolerance should not be misunderstood as a very weak and passive method, because Buddhism is not a yes man's religion. The nature of Buddhist tolerance is such that Buddhists can point out the weaknesses of certain religious beliefs and practices without condemning and without adopting any jealous or hateful attitude towards others. Therefore, Buddhists are not ready to accept everything as truth introduced in the name of religion. Buddhists can peacefully reject such practices in peaceful manner and welcome others who can understand and appreciate the manner in which Buddhists introduce religious practices. But Buddhists never try to introduce their religion by force or by adopting any questionable method. The Buddhist religion is based on the teachings of the Buddha. The teachings of the Buddha are based on the truth, especially on the Four Noble Truths that the Buddha realized through his experience and enlightenment. How did he gain the enlightenment? The Buddha attained his enlightenment only by using his superhuman effort by eradicating all mental impurities. When the mind was completely purified from all the defilements, he got the clear vision, pure wisdom, and enlightenment. But not simply by thinking as a thinker or a philosopher with polluted, egoistic mind. He did not gain that enlightenment simply by praying, making offerings to any god, not even by performing any religious rites and rituals, not by reciting any mantra, not by any aid from external powers or divine influence. He attained enlightenment only after he could manage to develop himself through self-discipline, self-restraint, self-sacrifice, abstaining from all kinds of evils, and practicing morality, keeping away from worldly pleasures, sacrificing his own comfort for the sake of others, by purifying his heart and mind, and by realizing the real nature of life and the world. This is the way how he gained his spiritual development. But very few can understand the real nature of the Buddha or teaching introduced by him. Dhamma is common. The Buddha is not the only religious teacher in this world. As Buddhists, we can respect the founders and teachers of any religion in this world who have served for the moral and spiritual development of mankind. We can also keep their images, pictures, holy scriptures, and any other religious symbols in our homes. The Buddha said, honor those who are worthy of honor. Those who deserve honor can be found in all religions. But when we compare the Buddha and his teachings to other religious teachers and their teachings, some scholars say that other teachers are more emotional than intellectual. The Buddha's way will mostly appeal to intellectuals and can be understood by intellectuals. The Buddha's teaching is called the Dharma. Dharma means the existing universal law or cosmic law or natural phenomena, moral and ethical principles, virtues, justice, conditions, righteousness, noble way of life. The Buddha said that the Dharma remains here in this world whether the Buddhas appear or not. This means that the teaching that he has introduced as Dharma is not the law created by anybody, but discovered through his own experience and enlightenment. We Buddhists need not accept only the Dharma introduced by the Buddha. If there are any other enlightened religious teachers in this world who have realized and discovered the real truth, we can accept this teaching also as Dharma. The Buddha has advised us to live in accordance with this Dharma. If we live with the Dharma, we will be protected by this very Dharma, because Dharma is the cosmic law. People can protect themselves by living a righteous way of life, that is, in accordance with the universal law. Not only that, by living the Dharma, we protect others by allowing others to live peacefully and without disturbing them. The Buddha says that if people violate this cosmic law, they will be in trouble and will have to face the consequences. From the Buddha's point of view, it is impossible. Even a god can change. The rejections of violating this universal law. Therefore, it is our duty to cooperate with the cosmic law if we want to live peacefully in this world. If we want to avoid various dangerous situations and conflicts. That is why Buddhists do not believe in confession. One religious book. Many people ask why the Dharma or the teachings of the Buddha are not contained in a single holy book like the Bible or Quran. It is not so easy to contain all the 45 years of the Buddha's teachings in a single book. His teachings fill many books and are divided into three sections: Sutra, Vinaya, and Abhidhamma. These three sections are called Tripitaka. In Sutra Pitaka, we can find the conventional sutras or discourses which the Buddha preached in a simple language for ordinary people. In the same Pitaka, we can also find the religious morals and principles, religious way of life intended for the disciples. In Vinaya Pitaka, we can find the ethical codes and the practical discipline for the monks and the nuns. This Pitaka contains the traditional Buddhist code of ethics, manners and customs, and other practices necessary for the self-discipline of the monks and nuns. In Abhidhamma Pitaka, we can find the higher philosophy and the psychology of the Buddha's teaching, and the analysis of mind and matter. Throughout his teachings, the Buddha did not give much attention to the speculative subjects. The reason is that he did not regard these subjects as necessary for our moral development and to overcome our worldly sufferings. Yet, many people like to discuss these matters only for the sake of curiosity. Religious ingredients. To follow a religion, certain beliefs and practices are essential. Without such beliefs, it is not easy either to introduce or to convince or to develop devotion and faith amongst the masses. Those important religious ingredients are Creator God, Divine Message, Commandments, Faith in God, Eternal Heaven and Hell, Confession, Prayers to God, Incantation, Ritualism, Religious Dogmas, Animal Sacrifices to please the God in order to gain his blessing and protection, self-torture and penalties to wash away the sins, emotional devotion, mysticism, magic and occultism, salvation through miraculous power, personality cult and speculations. Buddha has not paid much attention to any one of them. To him, these beliefs are not necessary to practice the religion. On the other hand, without accepting nihilism or annihilation, nothingness, agnosticism and exorcism, or dealing with evil spirits, the real teaching of the Buddha is strong enough to face and to solve any religious problems and to stand alone as a noble way of life to replace religion. The Buddha's way of dynamic proclamation of his teachings, truth, conviction, detachment, rationalism, reason, freedom, justice, non-violence, selfless service and love, noble life, great virtues, patience and understanding, purity, renunciation, scientific approach to religion, mind development, introduction of the real nature of the life and the world, and enlightenment. These great characteristics are the sources that could manage to convince the intellectuals all over the world to appreciate Buddhism. Buddhism came into existence as a result of man's struggle for finding truth. Buddhism is strong enough to face any challenge pertaining to religion in a peaceful manner and answerable to any critical modern scientific questions which shape any religious faith. Buddhism is saturated with a spirit of free inquiry and tolerance. It is the teaching of the open mind and the sympathetic heart which illuminates the whole universe with the twin rays of wisdom and compassion. The Buddha's tolerance was that of a strong, vigorous mind which understands the limitations of other minds and does not compromise with untruth, does not try to force truth into unwilling ears, allows others to hold their beliefs if they are not in a position to understand truth. Religious customs and practices. We know very well that the masses are interested mainly in religious traditions, customs, and rites and rituals. Very few can understand the value of the philosophical, ethical, and spiritual aspects of religion. And so, in the name of religion, people go on adopting various practices for their own satisfaction, protection, and worldly gain, and also to fulfill their desires. In the course of world history, a great variety of religious traditions and customs have evolved. Many of these practices were adopted from the country where the particular religion originated. As each religion slowly evolved, it was influenced by the conditions in the country of its birth, the social conditions, the economic situation, the way of life, the standard of education, the geographical condition, the traditional beliefs, as well as the imaginations and speculations and many other views held by the people of that country and that time regarding their lives in this world and in the next world. Let us take Buddhism. Buddhism originated in India more than 2,500 years ago. Although it is today a world religion, there are many religious traditions, customs, and practices that have been introduced according to the particular society, religious traditions, and way of life in India. If Buddha were born outside of Indian society, in any other country such as America or Europe, do you think that the same religious traditions, customs, and manners that we are practicing today can be found in Buddhism? Of course, the basic principles of his teaching are the same wherever and whenever he preached them. As Buddhism evolved, the various customs, beliefs, and practices also changed and developed from time to time, from place to place. When we observe various Buddhist practices performed by our devotees today in the name of Buddhism, we can find some of these practices are foreign to the original teachings of the Buddha. People incorporated many practices from other religions from time to time, and also made use of certain traditions and customs of various nationalities and their culture. That is how they enriched their own religions in their practices. This is unavoidable in the process of development of every religion. At the same time, some uneducated Buddhists may perform certain meaningless practices in the name of Buddhism. When other religionists observe these practices, they take this as an opportunity to condemn Buddhism. What they condemn is not Buddhism, but certain traditions and customs which Buddha never encouraged his followers to practice. It is true that certain religious practices are important for ordinary people, just as certain toys are important only for small children. But for the intellectuals, these religious rituals are not very important to follow a religion. Although these practices are important to attract people and to bring them into religion and get together to know each other and also to gain some happiness through such religious festivals and functions, people must not remain forever only by practicing such rites and rituals. They have to go further and develop their knowledge, way of life, and wisdom. Students must progress in their education, from kindergarten to primary school to secondary school to university. Likewise, those who begin religion only with rites and rituals must proceed to study the original teaching of their religion. In the case of Buddhism, Buddhists must study the Buddhist way of life, ethics, philosophy, psychology. They must develop themselves spiritually. Only then can they attain the final goal or the perfection, the aim of religion. Changing of religious principles. Today, many people are talking about changing religious beliefs and practices. In the case of Buddhism, others might criticize and condemn certain practices performed by certain Buddhists. It is true that in our Buddhist practices, in many parts of the world, there are so many religious practices to change according to the modern way of life and education. But if there is real truth in a religion, there is nothing for people to change in the basic principles of the religion from time to time, according to the changing circumstances. Therefore, in the original teachings of the Buddha, there is nothing for us to change to suit modern scientific discoveries. Make new discoveries, the more they come closer to the Buddha. Only those teachings that are not based on real truth have had to change their original teachings from time to time in order to meet the modern scientific education. False religions. The Buddha was a very liberal-minded, yet straightforward religious teacher. After investigating various religions at that time, he said that there are four kinds of false religions in which he cannot find the truth. He also said there are four kinds of religions which are unsatisfactory. The first false religion is that which teaches materialism by neglecting spiritual aspect of religious life. Materialism teaches this is the only life, and there is nothing hereafter. Life is only a component of four elements, and the mind is the cream of these elements. Physical body will be dissolved after death and absorbed into four elements again. Therefore, there is nothing to bother
with regards to the human destiny. Enjoy as much as possible as long as we live in this world. Enjoyment is the purpose of this life. This is the ideology of materialism. The second false religion teaches that there is no meaning of following any moral, ethical way of life for man to be religious. Man is free to do anything as he likes in this respect. No need for him to follow any tradition or custom or manners. The third false religion rejects cause and effect, but expects man salvation through miraculous power. This religion claims that there is no such thing as good results from good actions and bad results from bad actions. This religion says man can behave as he likes without any self-discipline or moral development. The false religion teaches that man has no choice, freedom, or free will, and he must surrender himself and depend on external sources for everything. This religion teaches man has no power either to adjust or to mold his life according to his own wishes. The Buddha also says that there are four religions that are unsatisfactory. These religions look like real religions at the beginning, but when closely studied and investigated, many can find that they are unsatisfactory. The first unsatisfactory religion preaches that there is an all-powerful or almighty God who created everything here in this world. This God is responsible for everything regarding man's way of life. This religion is unsatisfactory because the evidence and the reasons given for the existence of such an all-powerful God and about his creations are shaky and not very convincing. That is why many people are reluctant to accept this belief. The second unsatisfactory religion claims that its teachings are revealed by some unknown powerful person, and man must accept these teachings without question and must rely on such teachings. Man is not given a chance to use his own thinking and reasoning power. This religion is unsatisfactory to many people for the simple reason that some of those revealed statements are not convincing. The third unsatisfactory religion bases its teachings on arguments and metaphysical speculation. Arguments and metaphysics are not based on reality. A religion based on arguments and metaphysics is not very stable. Therefore, it is unsatisfactory and can be changeable according to the ability of arguments. The fourth unsatisfactory religion is one that gives statements of teachings which do not agree within that religion with each other. Use common sense. According to these interpretations of the Buddha, we have to use our common sense and intelligence when we accept or when we reject a religion. We must use our reasoning power and thus carefully to find out the validity of the religion And we must try to follow a religion with full satisfaction according to our own conviction. We need not follow a religion as a law or a custom or tradition. Religious principles must be observed by principles, not by law. We may find a religion that is immediately appealing because of our emotion, but later, when we reason out that religion, we may find it difficult to find out the real truth. According to Brahmajala Sutra, the Buddha has discarded 62 religious beliefs and theories as wrong beliefs, which were very common in India at that time. While rejecting wrong beliefs and appreciating certain popular and generally accepted religious principles where he could find truth, Buddha gave a rational interpretation to many existing religious terms and introduced the real religious meaning of such practices and the significance of those practices. Credit to intelligence. The Buddha encouraged people to investigate to find out the truth. Whenever we have any doubt regarding the teachings of the Buddha, there are four methods for us to adopt and to clarify and to verify. The first method is to refer to the original teachings of the Buddha and find out the Buddha words. If we can satisfy with his words, then we accept it. If we cannot understand or satisfy by referring to the original text, then we must refer to the commentaries written by the scholarly disciples of the Buddha. These scholars have elaborated and clarified certain difficult terms in the original teachings. If we still cannot understand or satisfy, then we must contact a learned religious teacher who has more experience and knowledge of the teachings of the Buddha. Then we can discuss our problems with him and try to clarify the doubts. If we still cannot satisfy, then the Buddha has given freedom to use our own common sense and intelligence to go through the information and explanations and to come to our own conclusion. One day, a group of people called Kalamas told him they had been considerably troubled by many religious men who taught different ways. They said that their way was the only way and that any other way was wrong. The chief of the Kalamas asked Buddha how he could know which was right and which was wrong. The Buddha advised Kalama, "Do not believe in traditions merely because they have been handed down for many generations and in many places. Do not believe in anything because it is rumored and spoken of by many. Do not believe because the written statement of some old sage is produced. Do not believe in what you have fancied, thinking that because it is extraordinary, it must have been implanted by a supernatural being." After observation and analysis, when it agrees with reason and is conducive to the good of one and all, then accept it and live up to it. According to this advice of the Buddha, we can understand that he has given so much freedom to think and credit to human intelligence. Miracles. To introduce this religion, the Buddha also did not encourage his disciples to show any miraculous powers. According to him, there is no religious value or reality in miracles. Having seen the miraculous power, people may follow your religion for curiosity's sake. But there is no real understanding of the Dhamma or the teaching. Therefore, according to the Buddha, the real miracle is to convert a wicked, cruel, and evildoer into a righteous person, making him realize that he had been committing evils and changing his attitude to be a religious man. In the eyes of enlightened teachers, so-called miracles are like children's play. The Buddha once said, "It is a shameful thing for a spiritual man to show his miraculous power, either to convert people into his religion or for his name and fame." Next world. To introduce a religion, it is very easy to promise the masses a wonderful life in the next world. This is what many religionists are doing. But expecting a reward only in the next world is an idea that will not appeal to intellectuals who are concerned with thinking about the happiness of this world and its problems. But if we really practice the religion, the happiness and peace we can find here in this world within this lifetime. It is not necessary to wait to see the results after our death. According to the Buddha, not only kingdom of heaven is within you, but the kingdom of hell is also within you. In every religion, we can find some sort of promises to experience the results in the next world. But many people do not know what will happen to them after their death, and no one will come and report to us where they are and what sort of results they are experiencing in the next world. That is why many religious people promise the reward only after death. But some people are doubtful about the next world. The Buddha says, "The results of a real religious way of life can be seen within this lifetime." Buddha also said that many people are anxious to go and enjoy their life in heaven after their death. But they cannot understand the bliss or happiness they gain here by leading a righteous or harmless life. Whether there is another life hereafter or not, it is advisable for each and every person to live peacefully, to experience happiness in this world itself. It does not mean that Buddhists do not believe the reactions of the good and bad deeds hereafter. The God idea. Now, let us come to the concept of God. This is an eternal controversy. From the very beginning up to the end of this world, people go on discussing and arguing either to prove the existence of God or to disprove it. Those who try to prove the existence of God only through their faith are in no better a position than those who try to disprove the existence of God only through their skeptical view, without proper investigation. Regarding the God idea, the whole mankind has divided into several groups.
wondrous faith.
There is no such God for man to believe and to pray, and man can live very well without God. Another group says, there must definitely be a creator God who creates this universe, and man is bound to obey him. Another group says that there is not only one creator God, but there are various types of God existing in this universe, and they are helpful to mankind to practice a religion.
Where are the Buddhas among these groups? Are we going to join one of these groups, or are we going to form a separate group? For those who believe in a creator God, we say that if the concept of God is necessary for your moral and spiritual development and your salvation, then go ahead. We don't advise you to give up that belief at once. But sorry to say that we have to agree to disagree. For those who believe in many gods, we say also, can believe that there are many gods, but it is not necessary for us to pray and to worship them, because we do not expect our salvation through the influence of any god. For those who do not believe in any god, we say that you can go ahead. If you cannot believe in any god, but you must behave as cultured and civilized persons without violating the moral and